A U.S. Olympian turns her back on the national anthem. Brandeis University is under fire for its oppressive words list. Plus, former President Trump brings the fire and energy to his Ohio rally. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with the U.S. Olympic team because it's back in the news and not in a good way. If you recall, on Wednesday's show, I talked about how the U.S. Olympic Committee is allowing a man to be on the women's BMX team. This man qualified as an alternate, which means he's on the team. Someone gets hurt, he's going to be competing. It also means that there is a woman who trained and trained and trained to be on the women's team who's going to be sitting at home because the U.S. Olympic Committee is allowing a man to be on there. Well, not only that, but it appears the Olympic Committee has no problem with athletes disrespecting the flag, disrespecting the national anthem, kneeling, turning your back. Apparently, it doesn't matter as long as these athletes now are promoting social justice and things that have nothing to do with sports. And here's the story. A hammer thrower turned away from the American flag and covered her head with a t-shirt that read "Activist Athlete" when the national anthem was playing during the Saturday U.S. Olympic track and field trials. Gwen Berry, 31, qualified for the Olympic Games in Tokyo, having placed third on Saturday. On the podium, Berry took a quarter turn to face the stands while the event's winner, Deanna Price, and second place finisher, Brooke Anderson, stood facing the flag, ESPN reported. To me, this is just outrageous. You have an American athlete who wants to be on the American team but protest the American flag. This is not the type of person who should be on the team. The U.S. Olympic team or any American national team should be represented by the best athletes who are also the best ambassadors for the sport and for America. You are representing your country. You should be proud of your country. You should at least like your country and stand for your national anthem and not turn away. And here's more. When the Star Spangled Banner played, Berry put her left hand on her hip and shuffled her feet. Toward the end of the anthem, the Olympian put a shirt with the words "Activist Athlete" over her head, according to ESPN. "I feel like it was a setup and they did it on purpose," Berry complained about a 5-minute delay, which resulted in the anthem coinciding with her being on the podium. "I was pissed, to be honest. I really don't want to talk about the anthem because that's not important. The anthem doesn't speak for me. It never has," Berry added. Unreal. The anthem doesn't speak for her, and it never has. What kind of upbringing is this? What kind of teaching is this in America when your whole life, the national anthem doesn't represent you, and yet you want to race for America? Sounds like a bunch of personal glory to me and not representing your country. But let me clarify a couple things. Here's the deal on this whole national anthem that was played this weekend. It wasn't part of this particular podium ceremony. This is the Olympic trials for America. So everyone who wins is going to be an American. They're not playing the national anthem all the time for every single event. But one time each day, they'd play the national anthem. People would stop. They would turn. They'd put their hands over their hearts because that's what Americans do. Not white Americans, not black Americans, but Americans when the national anthem is played. It was played at this particular time when those three athletes were on the podium and she turned away. She wanted to make it about her. Now, the reaction was just incredible. Lots of posts, lots of reaction. Here's a couple that really sum things up. "Any athlete that disrespects the American flag does not deserve to be representing the USA at the Olympics." Well, that's my feeling exactly. It's not just about being an athlete or the best athlete or a great athlete. It's about representing America. And here's another. "The whole point of the Olympics is to represent your country with honor. If you can't do that, you shouldn't compete. It's not about personal glory. This is just being self-centered. If you have issues, then there is a time and place for that, but not here." Well said on that one. This is not about personal glory, folks, and it also isn't about freedom of speech. The U.S. Olympic Committee can set whatever standards of conduct they want, just like any other organization. You know, proper attire, proper conduct, proper behavior. They can set that. And they had rules before about needing to stand in attention for the national anthem. But apparently, the U.S. national team, the Olympic Committee, has caved to the woke radical left. So you tell me in the comments, should this person be on the Olympic team or not? All right, so next we're going to talk about Brandeis University. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. All right, let's talk about Brandeis University because it's making news for its oppressive words list, which takes the woke left radical cancel culture to a whole new level. It's so bad that novelist Joyce Carol Oates had to call it out on Twitter, went on a Twitter rant because this list is just so dumb. And here's the story. Add award-winning novelist Joyce Carol Oates to the list of those who've had enough of cancel culture. Oates last week mocked a student-prepared list at Brandeis University in Massachusetts that suggested banning words and phrases such as picnic, survivor, and you guys. What is strange is that while the word picnic is suggested for censorship because it evokes in some persons lynchings of black persons in the U.S., the word lynching is not itself censored. The author of A Garden of Earthly Delights tweeted Thursday. See? Things are just getting ridiculous, folks. You can't say the word picnic because it may somehow remind people of lynchings. Yet, the word lynching is not on the list. You can say that. Saying lynching, that's all fine and good, but don't you dare say picnic. That's bad. Here's more. After the list went viral, picnic appeared to have been removed from the list, but the phrase everything going on right now remained, as the list makers claim speakers should be specific about what they mean. Being vague about important issues risks miscommunication and can also avoid accountability, the list said. The suggested banned words were deemed to be associated with violence, gender or racial exclusion, cultural appropriation, or were just considered generally inappropriate. Instead of you guys, which is considered gender specific, speakers could say y'all, folks or folks, friends, loved ones, people, the list suggests. Trigger warning could ironically be triggering for victims of violence, the list said. That last one is just so perfect, folks. All these left-wing snowflakes talk about now are microaggressions and trigger warnings. Now, you can't say trigger warnings because that might trigger the snowflake. It's just crazy. It's nonsensical. And here is an explanation about this list from the university. Brandeis spokeswoman Julie Jett said in a statement that the list is in no way an accounting of terms that Brandeis students, faculty, or staff are prohibited from using or must substitute instead. It is simply a resource that can be accessed by anyone who wants to consider their own language in an effort to be respectful of others who may have different reactions to certain terms and phrases, the Washington Times reported. Oh my gosh! What words are going to be left when all this is said and done, when the radical left has their way? We won't be able to describe anything because we won't have the allowable words to do it. Thankfully, this novelist was fighting back, was calling it out, and hopefully more people will do so. It's time to just talk, to debate, to engage, and have dialogue, and not be triggered so much and worried about microaggressions or white guilt or white privilege or all this other nonsense. Let's get back to the basics and have some common sense. All right, next, let's talk about former President Trump because he was in Ohio this weekend, had a rally, which was just awesome. The energy, the enthusiasm. This man spoke for over an hour and a half and just brought down the house. And it is such a contrast to Joe Biden, who can barely get out a sentence, which it's like he has to charge himself up for the four work days of the week before he does something on that fifth one, and then he rests all weekend because he can't get out another sentence. Such low energy, such weird activity, that whispering that he was doing. President Trump, on the other hand, brought down the house. He was awesome. Here's a former president talking about critical race theory.
Earlier this year, the Biden administration issued new rules pushing twisted critical race theory into classrooms across the nation. and also into our military. Our generals and our admirals are now focused more on this nonsense than they are on our enemies. We need a Republican Congress to ban critical race theory. You know, I had it banned through executive order, and it was fine. And then when we didn't get in, they immediately reinstituted it, but it was all gone. But they have to get it out of our schools, and they have to ban it in our workplaces, and ban it in our states, and ban it in federal agencies, and ban it in our military.
Well, he's absolutely right. We can't have this lessons, this curriculum, this ideology being taught to our kids or at the workplace or in the military. President Trump understands this must be stopped. The woke radical left must be stopped. Here's Trump talking about the southern border.
Immediately upon taking office, Joe Biden deliberately and systematically through his people, because I don't think he did it, dismantled America's border defenses and incited a flood of illegal migrants like this country has never seen. They violated our laws from every single corner of the globe they were invited in. And we can't do that. We can't afford it. We can't have it. We can't have people coming out of prisons. We have no idea who they are. Illegal border crossings are now up 976% since just a short few months ago. When I left office, we gave the new administration the most secure southern border our country had ever seen, by far.
Friends, there is no doubt in my mind that former President Trump did the best job of any president in addressing border security and what's going on at the southern border, trying to make us more safe, trying to make us more secure. That's the job he did. That was his focus. And look at the mess we have now. Kamala Harris went down to El Paso on Friday, and she said the Biden-Harris administration is actually making progress. Seriously? Check this out. Is this progress? The numbers in January and February are bad enough. They're terrible. Then it gets even worse. 173,000 in March, 178,000 in April, 180,000 in May. How is that progress? What a mess at the border. But here's former President Trump. Here's former President Trump wrapping things up.
There is no mountain we cannot climb. There is no summit we cannot reach. There is nothing that we cannot do. There is absolutely nothing we cannot match. There is no challenge that you will let us down. You will never let us down. The people of Ohio will never let us down. The people of our country will never let us down. We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield. We will never give in. We will never give up. We will never back down. We will never, ever surrender. My fellow Americans, our movement is far from over. In fact, our fight has only just begun.
Wow, what a closing. And I'm just thankful that Newsmax and Right Side Broadcasting decided to cover the speech. They covered it, and it was fantastic. All right, now on the not-so-fantastic side, let's talk about Senator Mitt Romney, because this guy is a piece of work. He gets played by Joe Biden and then just comes and says how wonderful Joe Biden is on CNN this weekend. Now recall, he is part of this bipartisan group of senators that hashed out an infrastructure deal. They came, did a little press conference, says, oh, we're working with Joe Biden. It's all great. And then Biden and Schumer drop the bomb and say, guess what? I'm not signing that unless you sign our Green New Deal human infrastructure plan that has nothing to do with infrastructure, tying them together, making Romney and the others look like chumps. Well, then Biden later said, hey, you know what? I'm just kidding. You can't trust these people. You can't trust Joe Biden. Yet Mitt Romney was going on CNN saying how good Biden is. Here is CNN's Jake Tapper laying out what happened.
So President Biden originally said, if your compromise plan is the only bill that comes to his desk, quote, I'm not signing it. But then yesterday he issued a lengthy statement saying he supports the deal and it was certainly not his intent to issue the veto threat. Is that good enough for you? Do you buy his new explanation?
So here's a group of senators negotiating to try and get this deal. They think they have it. And then Biden says, psych, we're not going to do that. We've got these other plans. And then he goes back and says, oh, just kidding. Would you trust this guy? Here's Romney.
Well, I do take the president at his word. And over the weeks and weeks of negotiations with Democrats and with the White House on an infrastructure bill, the president's other agenda was never linked to the infrastructure effort.
Oh, my gosh. Right there, Romney acknowledges that that bipartisan deal wasn't tied to another bill. Joe Biden says, oh, wait, yes, it is. And then he goes back and changes it. So he changed the terms of negotiation. He couldn't be trusted in those negotiations. Yep, Romney was right there saying how great he was. And here's more.
Based on the whiplash over the last few days, do you trust the president?
I do trust the president, and he made very clear in the much larger statement that came out over the weekend, carefully crafted and thought through piece by piece, that if the infrastructure bill reaches his desk and it comes alone, he will sign it.
So that's Mitt Romney. And a message to Utah. Folks, can you please, please elect someone different next time? Can you please get rid of Mitt Romney because he has to go? Folks, that's our show for today. But don't forget, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Thanks again for tuning in. Our next show will be Wednesday. Until then, I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.